this morning in the Sunday school and the Sunday morning service. He says, "Praise the Lord for His grace and His mercy on us. He's always kind and blessing us daily with His abundant mercies. We thank the Lord for your continual prayers and support, being a part of winning souls for Christ in the country of Pakistan. Another pastor in Pakistan was shot dead by terrorists a few weeks ago. Pastor William was a lay pastor and belonged to the Anglican Church. After the Sunday service, he was traveling with two other church leaders in the car when two men on a motorcycle intercepted him and opened fire. The pastor died instantly. The second person was wounded by the bullet, and the third was unharmed. This incident happened in the city of Peshawar, province of, I'm not going to say it, this city is very close to Afghanistan border. In 2013, the same Anglican church in Peshawar was attacked by terrorists using bomb blasts during a Sunday service. Around 70 died, people died, and over 100 were wounded. Pastor William lost his son-in-law in the attack. I don't think we have anything to whine about this morning, brethren.
Amen.
Hey, forgive me this morning if I'm a little serious, because I've been bothered since Thursday about some things going on. It's been heavy on my heart. Very heavy on my heart. So, again, this morning, if I get a little emphatic, I'm pretty stirred up this morning. We need help, brother, as Christians.
Hey.
Look, it's like the Medes and Persians are at the border here of the United States of America. I asked a couple weeks ago about why the doors of Ray Street Baptist Church should be open, and I didn't mean physical locked open or physically locked closed. I meant open spiritually. These are the kinds of examples these denominations are setting up for the young people. Now, after his death, Muslim religious leaders of the area came to the church for condolences and to show their solidarity with the Christian community. They requested the church leaders that they would allow them to pray before Islamic prayers in the church. So basically what happened, he said here, the Anglican church, the Muslims in the area, in order to show their sympathy, said, "Hey, can we come in and pray with you over your pastors and your funerals?" It was just a show. He says, and yes, the church leaders, the Anglican church leaders, allowed them to perform the Islamic prayers in the church. Brother Neil says, "This breaks my heart. On one side, the sad killing of a pastor, and on the other, giving heed to doctrines of devils and promoting religious harmony and ecumenical movement to show solidarity with other religions breaks my heart. These are the kind of examples these denominations are setting up for the young people." Brethren, I'm going to say this morning as we go into it later on. We've got a men's meeting after church downstairs, and I'm going to show you some things. Look, the things that were sown in the 50s, 60s, and 70s with little praise courses is coming to fruition today in our churches. That's why you got the little bouncing ball up there. That's why you can leave out of church to AC/DC, Bon Jovi, and all this other mess. It's because stuff started in the 40s, 50s, and 60s among churches that they started allowing stuff in. They started simplifying things. They started watering things down. And that's why we're in a mess today.
Preach.
Brethren, I love you this morning. But Ray Street Baptist Church needs some help. Now, as your pastor, by God's grace, I'm going to try to be a pastor for you.
Hey.
I'm going to try to support you. I'm going to try to love you. And I'm going to try to keep out the devil trying to get in here and break and stir things up in this church.
Come on.
They have no idea what kind of trap the devil is setting up for them by using these ecumenical movements. These actions of such leaders provoke me more and more that we need to be there in truth to biblical doctrine, train the local pastors, plant churches using the right Bible as a foundation, and make disciples so that they can teach others also. These actions make me angry, but the Bible also teaches me to be patient toward all men. One day, God will give us an opportunity to give these leaders a wake-up call, comfort the feeble-minded, and support the weak by the preaching of the Word of God. Please pray for us that God, through His wisdom, will give us grace. March 2nd, I will be traveling to Pakistan to sell my deceased father's property and meet the team to start the Urarti Bible translation parallel with the King James Bible. If we are to plant the church, then the foundations need to be right. Otherwise, it will fall. Some brethren in Pakistan have already set up some preaching opportunities for me. Please keep this project and my trip and safety of me and my family while I'm away in your prayers. God has been so kind and given us churches. After I come back from Pakistan, we will start traveling to Texas for more meetings and stay there for a while. Thank you all for being a part of this mission. Please pray for our deputation. Please pray that God will raise up more laborers to reach out to the lost souls here in the U.S. and all over the world." Brother, the United States is in trouble this morning. The United States is in trouble this morning. The church is in trouble this morning. And I'm not just talking about Ray Street Baptist Church. We're in trouble this morning. We're spoiled. We're spoiled. We nitpick about things that ought not to be nitpicked about. Pray 4 years for a pastor. A pastor comes in, a bunch of nitpicking.
Help.
Brother, God's given me boldness this morning. I'm not playing no games. I could hardly sleep since Thursday. It seems just like when things start getting calmed down, something else comes up. I believe there's a witch that comes in this church and is trying to cast spells over these services. And you don't see it because I don't tell you that. But there's stuff going behind women in this church, behind their back. The tattletale whispers, putting stuff on Facebook. God help us. I'm tired of it.
Amen.
I'm tired of it. Brethren, we gotta fight for the cause of Christ, or we just want to have a nice Sunday service, come in here, go home, eat our little lunch, and complain that the service is too quick by 5:30 because I ain't got enough time at home for my afternoon nap. God help us.
Amen.
God help us. I'm going to read during the Sunday morning service. Brethren in the Ukraine right now for 5 years wake up every morning at 5:30 to go pray in the town square, in the snow, in the cold, praying that the communists won't come back in again and torture them for believing in Jesus Christ. And we're complaining because we got to come back at 5:30 and don't get our Baptist nap. God help us. God help us. We're spoiled brats. And I speak for myself, brethren. I was in here crying this morning and said, God, deal with me first. I whine and complain because I get up at 5 or 5:30. These brethren are getting up, walking and going in the cold and snow, kissing and hugging each other and praising God there and swear that the communists won't come in. And us Americans, we're sound asleep at 5:30.
Yeah.
God help. I'm here. I believe God's brought me to Ray Street Baptist Church to give a wake-up call.
Hey.
Because I believe God wanted to do something with this church. I believe Pastor Gary stood for some things. But I think we just can't go on as status quo because that's the way it's always been done. If you want it to be done, this church is going to die.
Come on.
Physically, literally, and spiritually. Why aren't there no young people coming in here?
Well.
Brother, I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm not playing games. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I'm doing it this morning. You want to know why I took this away? You want to know why I took it away? You want to know why our kids go astray when they get older? You want to know why? Join the Gospel Express. Come along, answer yes. It's leaving for glory soon. Peep, peep, peep goes whistle. Toot, toot, toot goes the train. Chug, chug, chug goes the engine. I bet you they'll sing it over there in the Ukraine. You want to know how water things get watered down today? AC/DC. It started in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. How about this one? The devil's a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. I'd lock the box and throw away a key for all the tricks he's played on me. You want to talk about taking things lightly? You think Paul and Silas, when they were cast into prison, they're singing something like that? What is it teaching our kids about the seriousness of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Mr. Satan knocks at my heart door. May I come in? I say, no, 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 for Jesus. Go ahead and try it out with Satan.
Well.
You're taking Satan, you're poking a lion in the nose. Satan, Michael, look at me bring a railing accusation against Satan. He's an archangel. But we're teaching our kids, just say no, no, no to Satan. And then also we have Milam Lefevre in there, who had ties with Billy Joel, Tina Turner, Mac Fleetwood, ZZ Top. That's why I'm not using this movie. There's some good songs in here, but there's a lot of stuff that's watered down, watered down, watered down. We wonder why we ain't got power. We wonder why God doesn't move. The verse in here, when we see Christ, we just put one stanza in it, that's it. But we'll go up to Satan and say, no, 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 poke him in the nose. Brethren, I'm serious today. Why are little kids that were raised up in independent Baptist churches, for the more majority of them, get old and they go off and sin in the world? I don't even know what to say. My heart was sick all day Thursday. Brethren bringing accusations against me because I had no right to take this out of the church. I have every right to take it out of the church. I'm a pastor.
Hey!
I'm not just one member. I am a member of this church, but y'all vote. I'm a pastor.
Come on.
You're right.
You want a committee in this church? I'll leave quietly. Just tell me. I will leave quietly, and I will start another church and leave out. I'll leave quiet. I won't cause no problems. Just let me know. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not playing games. I'm not going to be bullied and say that I got to explain every situation and every reason why I do something. I will not do it. No more men's meeting after church. I just took care of it right there. You want to vote me out? Vote me out. But you're going to have to push me out. Because I'm not putting up with it. Brethren, I'm going through the books downstairs and I'm clearing some of them out. If you got some books downstairs that are precious to you because you donated them and you want to take them. Because my daughter brought a book to my wife this week from downstairs that my wife wouldn't let me read because of the stuff that was in about women. Downstairs in our library, Purpose-Driven Life, Warren Hornsby, what's the Norman Vincent Peale, Mark Twain. Do some research on Mark Twain. God help us, brethren. I'm not playing games. If you want me out, get me out. But don't come to me unless you've got some major little doctrine issue that I'm not doing right. Like the deity of Jesus Christ, or I'm denying the blood, or the virgin birth. Come to me with that stuff. Don't come to me with fiddly stuff. Especially when I give you answers. I'm done. We're supposed to sing this morning. Brethren, I don't know what to do. I got that article from Ukraine. I said, God help the Christians in the United States of America. Nitpicking a pastor over a chorus book when we got 925 songs in this book and this book, but we're going to whine and complain because the pastor took away something I think was watering down his church.
Hey.
925 songs and we're not happy. I'm stirred up this morning. Judgment must begin at the house of God. If we just want to play church, please just let me know. And I will leave quietly and I will start something else. Whereas I know there's people in here that don't want to play church and we'll get something trying to go.
Yes.
Just let me know.
Hey.
Just let me know. It's not a threat. I'm not threatened. But I can't have sleepless nights and some people tell me that the previous pastor was here, his dad had ulcers in his stomach. Now I know why. I know why the man had ulcers in his stomach. Pastor's supposed to have joys. Pastor's supposed to have priests. Peace. Pastor's supposed to be nice. Did you read Nehemiah? He pulled out their beards. I'm the way I am this morning because I love you. And I love this church. I love God's word. And I love Jesus Christ. And I hate the devil.
Amen.
I hate Satan. Hey. I hate what he's done in my life. Brother, so you don't realize, I grew up with some of those songs in church. And it made me think lightly of Jesus Christ. It made me think lightly of Satan, like you could just rebuke Satan and he'll go away. If you think you could just rebuke Satan and he'll go away, you don't know spiritual warfare. You don't know spiritual warfare. Satan isn't going to go away just because you said, no, Jesus saved me, go away. He's going to laugh in your face. That is not Bible. We got precious brethren over there in the Ukraine going out in the snow and it's cold and it's freezing and they're getting down on their knees and praying to God that the communists don't come in so they're not persecuted, so that the pastors aren't beaten, so the pastors aren't shot, so that the church isn't broken up. Going on right now, they've been doing it for 5 years. That article was written in 2019 and guess what? Russia is right there on the border. Something's getting ready to happen and those poor Christians over there are getting ready to suffer again while we sit over here and we whine because we've only got 30 flavors of ice cream.
Preach. Come on. That's good.
We got a warm bed to go home and sleep at tonight. We got a warm church. What if we all of a sudden canceled church this morning here and say, guess what, brother? We're going to meet out there in this field today. Preacher, it's too cold. Tell that to those in Ukraine.
Well,
that might do us some good this morning to go out there and meet. Brethren, we need to get back to the book. We need to get back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to, look, March 5th, it's a Saturday. I'm starting a little series for the men in this church. If you want to come on a Saturday morning on being soldiers for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It starts with the men in this church.
Wonderful.
It starts with the men in this church. We need some men in this church. Stop your whining, complaining, belly aching over everything. No wonder people don't want to come to church. You know what, brother? I don't know why I'm on this road. All I've had to deal with this year, and I'm not complaining. God brought me here as a pastor, and it's a pastor's job. You know how many times I've had to try to defend Ray Street Baptist Church? And just pull my hands up and say, they're just mean, they're not friendly, they're like, just keep coming to church, just keep coming to church, just keep coming to church. They always, people just complain and complain, just keep coming to church. God help us this morning. God help us this morning. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Before I read that, I will read this. Acts 20:28 says, take heed unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the flock or to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Overseer, one who oversees, a superintendent, and a supervisor. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saint and for the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13 says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Well, he has no right. I'm a pastor. And the Bible says, I'm over you in the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. The word rule means the rule. The word of rule, the act of ruling, administrative law, government, empire, authority, control, to have power, command. That's a pastor. And if anybody can come up here in my office after church and say, I've been a dictator to you, please come talk to me in my office. I've tried to do nothing but show love to the people in this church. I might be rough when I preach, but outside of services, I'm trying to do stuff for the people in this church. And I speak as a fool. I speak as a fool. When's the last time you fasted for this church?
Come on.
When's the last time you fasted for your pastor, for the services, for this church?
Amen. Amen.
When's the last time you got down to your house and there was tears shed for this church and for your pastor and for your fellow brethren? When's the last time, brethren? When's the last time? When's the last time you got broken over sin and you shed a tear because of the wickedness in your life? God help us. You know what? Some of you men, quite a few of you men in this church have been in the military. And if you were an E2 or an E3, you would never, unless you were brazen, you would never think of going to your sergeant or your lieutenant, much less your captain or your major, and say, hey, Major, why are you doing the things you're doing? Why did you take that away, Major? I want to know answers now, Major. You be going to the brig. I demand answers, Major. I'm a private, and I need to know why you're doing everything you're doing. You in the military, you would not do that to your superiors. And again, I speak as a fool. I am not a dictator. Actually, like I said a couple weeks ago, and I'll say it again, the Lord's doing everything. He's like, no, son, you ain't going nowhere.
Hey!
I'm like, I'm more kidding. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule of you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account. This church, I've said before, brethren, this church is not a committee of men and we're all in together and I'm just doing a preaching for you. And then you can sit back there and have your little cake and tea and I'm the one that can account for it. That's what some, I think, individuals want here. They want a little bit of power to tell you what you need to do, yet you just do our preaching. You answer the phone calls at 10 o'clock at night. You go out and visit the widows. You do all these things. But when it comes down to it, we're all going to vote on this together. Nonsense.
Come on.
If you want that, get me out. Tell me. Just tell me. Y'all men, you meet together, just tell me. Just give me a month to be able to get a full-time job, and then I'll leave. Quietly. I won't cause no problems. I promise you that. That's not my personality. But if you want a pastor and you want a shepherd that's going to watch out for the sheep, Rodney Myers was right when he preached my induction ceremony. He said, there's wolves in here. And that man was right. Hey, those of you playing sports, how would you even dare think about going up to your coach and say, "Coach, I don't think we need to run this play, Coach. I think we need to run that play." When you're a quarterback, the coach would be like, if he's a good coach, he says, "Son, get your tail on that game and run the play I said." You know why? Because the coach ain't got to explain it. Because the coach is sitting up here and he's seeing everything else that's going on. He's seen both defense, he's seen offense, he's seen the linebackers, he's seen the running back, he's seen the quarterback. He's got a picture of the whole game. And what nonsense would it be for the running back to come up to the head coach and say, "I don't think you're running the right plays, get out of here." Brethren, I've learned a lot in the years of pastoring. I've learned a lot. You know why it's gray hairs? This year. But by God's grace and God's help, I'm going to try not to have no more sleepless nights.
Amen.
Because I'm worried about being bullied in this church.
Amen.
If you don't like who I put up for song leader, sorry. I'm going what God's trying to tell me to do. And sometimes I've been intimidated even in that. Why is the preacher doing that? Why did the preacher do that? Why did the preacher do this? How about pray and fast? How about pray and fast? How about getting on your knees and say, "God, help my preacher. He might not do things like I want him to do, but God, please help him." Thank God. I speak as a fool. Thank God you got a preacher up here that believes the book this morning.
Hey.
Thank God you got a preacher this morning that loves Jesus Christ.
Hey.
Thank God you got a preacher that prays and cries over you. Thank God you got a preacher who believes Jesus Christ is God. Thank God you got a preacher that believes in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank God you got a preacher that believes in the virgin birth. But no, we're going to nitpick that because he won't let you have a songbook. God help us.
People.
I was in here this morning walking around just crying saying, "God help this church. God help this church. Help us to get back to what matters, God, because we don't know what's behind those doors, Lord, that are getting ready to get open." How many would you come out to church every, how many of you, if I start up every morning this church, those that aren't working, you ain't got to worry about it, but those, maybe those of you who are working, and I say, guess what, at 4 o'clock in the morning, we're going to come out here, and we're going to pray and still in more for our country, for our leaders. I'm going to read you an article later, and that snow out there, so that God helps this country and helps the church. How many would show up? Every morning. Every morning. Brethren, I see the writing on the wall, and I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to be a prophet. But something is coming down this line, and this country's going to be changed, and Christians need to wake up now. Now's the time to wake up. Now's the time to wake out of sleep. Now's the time to get right with God. Now's the time to get on your knees. Now's make time and figure out where you're really at with God. It's too late when China starts rolling in with their tanks, taking Christians to concentration camps. That's too late then, friend.
Yeah.
Right. I'm afraid someone here would turn me into the government. Well, I'm not afraid. I know. I know there's someone here that would turn me into it. I know that.
Lord have mercy.
They would put their place on Facebook. You know, of course they would do that. They ain't got enough manhood or womanhood about them to come talk to the pastor. We'll just put it on Facebook and just let all. And then when we meet the pastor, we're like, "Oh, pastor, you're so wonderful. I pray, hallelujah, glory to Jesus." Oh, you hypocrite. God help us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers." 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves in the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, brethren, and no marvel." Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm sorry, chapter 11. Verse 14. "And no marvel." Verse 14, "For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast of myself a little. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in the confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also." I will say this before you bring an accusation or say a pastor can't be trusted, or you tell me you prayed and you fasted for a couple days before you come talk to me. Paul says here in verse number 19, "Ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise." Why am I here? Brethren, why is there a structure? structure and a setup in Timothy about what a bishop needs to do or be in order to be a bishop. If it isn't for the fact that a bishop is supposed to be set up and be an overseer and a ruler over a flock of God, which God ordained and God set up. Paul says here, verse 20, "For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also." And that's me this morning, brethren. I speak foolishly, but I'm going to be bold. Verse number 23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more." Look what Paul says here. "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of five times what received I, 40 stripes save one." That's 195 lashes on the back. The Bible says in verse 25, "Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me, the daily," he says, "upon me daily, the care of all the churches." You know what a pastor carries? He carries the care of the church. He carries the burden of the church. Gary Freeman, Paul Freeman, the pastor, they carry the burden of the church. The people out here, the men, the members out here, you don't have to carry that. That's on the pastor. There's not a day goes by I don't think about this church and what help needs to be in the church and what can I do for the church. I speak as a fool. You think Paul would sing a song or teach his children, "Mr. Satan knocks at my heart's door and says, may I come in? And I say, no, 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 for Jesus loved me so, took away my sins," and he turns around and runs away. "I wish he'd go away to stay." That's not the Bible, and it's not the spirit of the Bible. It's a different spirit. And whether it was meant to or not to, or somebody just didn't see it or didn't understand, it did creep into the church. Whether it was innocent or not innocent, Milo Lefebvre creeped into this church. And it's my job as a pastor to cut off that snake head as soon as I see it.
Amen.
You said you wanted a pastor to then bring CCM stuff in here. Well, you got them. I despise CCM. I despise, let's put it on the record, I despise Bill Gaither. And I got plenty of reasons for that. Bill Gaither is also in this book. He's a wonderful man. We're promised teasers and provided a mass, a Roman Catholic mass for all the audience there, and he sung for it. Wonderful man we want in our church. I thought this church was against new ecumenicalism, or however you say it, new evangelicalism. Yet we're singing Bill Gaither. Brother, you're going hand in hand with what you're saying you're not. That's a pastor's job. And if I'm mean because I'm doing it, then I'm going to continue to be mean. Because I love your soul.
Hey.
Because I love your soul. Because I know there's some brethren here. You're precious as a precious stone to me. I thank God for some of the brethren in here who have sent me cards, who have sent me texts, who said, "Preacher, keep on going. You mean the world to me. You mean the world to me. I thank my God daily for you." Those that have called me up and said, "Preacher, keep on going. Keep on going, preacher." And it's more than one person. Because I know there's some people in here that don't like other people. God help us. God help us. Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter 133. I believe that's a psalm. Psalm 133. I wasn't planning on preaching this morning. I thought we were going to sing some songs and all that, but I've been stirred up this morning. Actually, I've been stirred up for a couple days now. Psalm 133. I love you this morning, brethren. I love you. I love you. Look at Psalm 133. Look at Psalm 133, please, this morning. Look at this psalm if you've got a Bible. Look what the psalmist says here, David. Look at David, wonderful David. I love David. Look what he healing says here in Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Brethren, you know, brethren, I don't know if any of you men ever preached in here, if any of you men ever taught in here. Look, there's times where you get in a church service and you come in and you get ready to preach, and it's like preaching to a wall. There's no liberty. There's no liberty. And I can tell I've been doing this for long. I speak as a fool again. I know I'm still young. I've been sick for 22 years. Did a little preaching in a few places. Again, I speak as a fool. You go into some churches like, there's something wrong in here. I don't know what it is, but I've been doing this long enough. I know something ain't right. And usually it's a bad spirit by somebody else in the church. And later on you find out about it. Now I know why the church service the way it went. This brother hates this brother. And this sister's complaining about this sister. And this brother's doing this with this brother. And this brother gets up and preaches. God help us. We're spoiled. We're spoiled.
Yes.
Go say that to one of your Chinese brethren. I heard a missionary one time, I don't know if it was in China, one of those countries over there, suffered communism. And that missionary went over and said, we feel sorry for you. He said, no, I feel sorry for you.
Mm-hmm. Well.
I'll say it again. Missionary went to, I don't know what country it was, and they were under oppression, they were under communist rule, and that missionary looked at that brother in Christ and said, I feel sorry for you. Like he's trying to be all pious and all this, I feel sorry for you. And that brother in Christ said, no, I feel sorry for you. We think we're all tough as Americans. We're not tough. We think we've got it together in America when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ain't got it together. We're not what we think we are. We're not what we think we are. Say, preacher, I want the deep things of God. Give me some deep things of God. How about not murmuring and complaining? Let's start with that one. Let's not even go into 1828 dictionary. Let's not look up any words in Greek and Hebrew before we can get down just not murmuring and complaining. And then maybe we'll get into the deep stuff.
Well.
Preacher, I'm not doing the church. Preacher, I want the deep stuff. That's why I go to Hebrew. That's why I go to Greek. I just want the deeper meaning of the word. How about you just be nice once in a while?
Come on.
What about the fruit of spirit? Well, I know the deeper meaning of Passover and Easter, and it should be translated this way. When's the last time you show love and joy and stop murmuring and complaining every other time? Peace, long suffering, charity, gentleness, goodness. That's nothing. We need the deep stuff. No, that's the stuff we need. We don't need to see. We think we want the deep stuff. We can't even do the simple stuff, brethren. We can't even do the simple thing Paul says in his Pauline. Read through the Pauline epistles. Read through Romans, Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus. Let's just read through there and just try to apply the things you get, the simple things you get from those. And then maybe once you got those down, then maybe you might start looking for the deeper things.
That's it.
We've got this thing all turned upside down in our Baptist colleges and our Baptist institutes. We think the deep things is those type of things, and our attitudes stink. Stink. No charity, always complaining, always murmuring, nitpicking, fussing at this, fussing at that. But you know what? I got a deep walk with God. You don't got nothing. You don't got what you think you got. God help us. David said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the beard that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew of this that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. You know how wonderful it is as a pastor to see brethren interacting with each other with joy and happiness and gladness over their Savior Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir.
Now I know what my pastor meant by that. He said one of his core things that he desired the church, he desired to see everyone get along in unity and love one another and be there for one another. Not discontent, not disunity, not complaining and murmuring and whining over this brother and this sister. He's not letting me do this and she's complaining about that. God help us. Most pastors today won't touch these things, because I'm afraid a lot today are just playing games. and just go along with the status quo. Let's just make sure we keep our churches full. But what is it full of? What is the church full of? There's no power. There's no power. There's no power. There's no power. The power is off. Take your Bible, look at Acts chapter 16 real quick. Acts 16, verse 25. Acts chapter 16. And look at verse number 25. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 25. Look at this morning. Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They sang, they got put in prison for the cause of Jesus Christ, for the gospel they were preaching. And Paul and Silas, at midnight, they were there praying and singing praises unto God. That the prisoners there saw the joy, saw the happiness, saw the peace, saw the grace, saw the comfort. And those prisoners there, including the jailer, were thinking, what is wrong with these men? Either they're insane or they got something I want and need. Read that article I'm going to read in the morning service about those brethren in Ukraine. You know why they're going to cast them? Well, they did cast some of them in prison. They put them in mental hospitals. And I'm telling you, it's coming to the U.S. of A. They're going to take a preacher like me and say, I belong in a mental institute because I've lost my mind and I'm a danger to humanity. It's coming, brethren. It's coming. One day you might lose your preacher. Is there another man in here in this church if you want to step up and take the baton and go on? I pray to God that I just have enough strength and boldness in the Lord. If the day did come, I don't deny my Lord. That's my prayer. God, if that day does, Lord, I don't want that day to come. But God, I pray if that day does come, Lord, I pray I have the boldness of Paul. I pray I have the boldness of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray I have the boldness of David to stand for what is right.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
You say, preacher, you're a little indignant this morning. I'll just give you the definition of indignation. Anger or extreme anger mingled with contempt, disgust, or abhorrence. Take your Bible, look at Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter number 10. Jeremiah 10:10. Look at this verse with me. Jeremiah chapter number 10 and verse number 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath, the old earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. When the Lord moves, when God does something, this world will not be able to handle it. Jeremiah chapter 15. Flip over a couple pages. Look at chapter 15. Look at verse number 15. Same book, book of Jeremiah. Look what Jeremiah prays here to the Lord. Jeremiah 15, verse 15. O Lord, Thou knowest. Jeremiah says here, he says, O Lord, Thou knowest. Remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in Thy long suffering. Know that for Thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of Thy hand, for Thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt Thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as a water that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious, from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. For I will make thee unto this people a fenced, brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. You know what? You know what? Jeremiah wanted to do. He wanted to run away. Read through the book of Jeremiah. What Jeremiah had to deal with those those Jewish people over there. God said, set your face like a flint. God says, listen, God said to Jeremiah, he says, don't be afraid of the faces they make when you tell them the word of God. How many times as a preacher, I preach and I see people's faces, and the verses of Jeremiah come to my head, said, don't mind their faces, you just stay faithful to preach the word.
Amen.
Righteous indignation. Micah 7:9 says this, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and to execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 11. You know what I found out with some people? They're light on sin and condemn the preacher.
Mm.
Yeah. Words of a feather flock together.
Mm-hmm.
Preacher's mean. Preacher hates us. Preacher's a hypocrite. But I'll live with a married man.
Mm.
That's all right. I'll smoke pot. That's all right. I'll drink my liquor and my beer. But I love Jesus. That preacher, he's mean. How about you stop living with that married man? That's sin. That's fornication. That's adultery. And God hates you. God hates sin.
Amen.
Them that sin, rebuke before all. 1 Timothy.
Right.
Them that sin, rebuke before all. May God help me be bold. May God help me to be bold. May God help me never look at sin lightly. To say sin as it's just a mistake. You're living with a man, he's married, that's adultery. You're in sin. It's not right. It's ungodly. Then that sin repeat before all. You smoke in your pot, that's sin. Just as you get high to have a good time, that's sin. You drink in your liquor and your beer to get high and have a good time, that's sin. That's wickedness. It ain't right. Who knows what you're watching on your television or on your computer screen or on your phone. It's sin. It's wickedness. And it's not right. And you bring it into the church, it affects the church. That's why I need men and I need women in this church that are going to figure out which side of the fence they're going to get on and start praying for this church so when those individuals come into this church, it doesn't hinder the services. Again, why are these doors open? If we're just here just to go through the motions, brethren, I'm not the right man for this church. I'm not the right man for this church. You got the wrong man. You got the wrong man. Because I'm not your man. If that's what you want, if you just wanted a preacher to come in, just give you a little Bible so you can go home and live the rest of the week and do your stuff and your life and all that, and just come in on Sunday morning, sing a couple nice uplifting songs, and then the rest of the week, you got the wrong man. I'm not your preacher. I'm not your preacher. I'm being honest. It's not me. But if there's some people in here that have a heart and a desire and a zeal for the things of God, I'm going to try to help you get them. Do I know them all? Absolutely not. Do I know this Bible inside out? Absolutely not. Actually, the more I read it, the more I realize I'm not qualified to do this job. And God says, no, keep on going. Some people come up and say, hey, you remember Moses? Moses told God, I can't talk. God says, no, you're fine. Go ahead and go now. That's me right now. God, I'm Moses. I can't talk, God. I can't be a pastor over these people, God. I'm a failure myself. How am I going to lead a church? And God says, just keep on going, son. You'll be all right. Just keep following me.
Amen.
Hey.
If you want God, you want Bible, you want the truth, you want a preacher that loves God, is going to pray for you, weep over you, try to intercede for you, you got the right man. But if that's not what you want, you got the wrong one. And if you don't like it, you know, somebody told me, Pastor Gary Freeman said this before he passed on the scene, there's the doors that go in and out. If you don't like me, go find another church. Or go start one yourself.
Hey.
Yes.
Go start one yourself.
Amen.
Look, when we don't got no issues with 2-2-2 and beep 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 and when God parted the ways with Moses in the water, he went puff 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 and it's enough, enough, enough. You think that's what those children of Israel thinking when they're there and Pharaoh's behind them? That's in this book. God went puff puff. You think God went puff puff? That's blasphemous. And we're teaching our kids that.
offering, the mouth on each side. Pharaoh's getting ready to come and kill them. And they're like, Moses, what are we going to do? It was a serious matter with God. It was a serious matter with those children of Israel. Yeah, we make it right for our children. We make it right for our church. And we wonder why everything's a mess today in America. Because we watered down the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is serious stuff. This is a spiritual battle for one. We got a true enemy that hates us, and would like nothing better to see us tortured, destroyed, death. That's Satan. This is a spiritual battle, brethren. This is not, that's what Paul said, it's not a recreation room.
Yeah, sure.
Why does Paul say in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God that you can just stand in the last day. You don't even have to take ground. Paul says, I just need some brethren. He said, I just need some Christians who will just stand for the gospel and the truth contained in that word. Brethren, some of the things that are put forth in that book do not line up with that book. Think about Moses, mama. What was happening in the day with Moses and his mama? What were they told to do with their babies? Cast them into the water. Stop and think about that for a moment. Those of you who are mothers in here, and you've had a child, think about the dictate and the commandment coming down from Pharaoh saying, if you've got a child born, cast them into the water, to the alligators. Think about the turmoil in your mind and in your heart saying, God, I can't do this, God. This is my baby. I can't do this. And yet we sing a little song like Moses in the... That was not a life thing, brethren. And yet I got individuals in this church who come up to me and condemn me and say, we should be singing, there is a fountain filled with blood. Or and can it be? Or I know whom I believe. And we pick Nick or two words in a song that's wonderful. Yet we'll sing that nonsense. God help us. God help us. God help us. Help us. Charles Wesley, John Wesley, those were guys that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Those were guys who were willing to forsake all and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got things mixed up, brethren. We got things mixed up. As your pastor, I'm not having it anymore. I'm done. If there's something I'm majorly doing doctrinally wrong, come at me. But do not come at me with petty stuff. Nonsense. Nonsense. We nitpick, but we'll swallow a camel and swat at a gnat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. God, I don't even know what to say anymore, Lord. I don't know what to say. God, I pray you'd help Ray Street Baptist Church. I pray the members that are all the members that are here this morning. Lord, you know I've come up. Lord, I believe you had me come up to this church, dear God. Lord, I believe without a doubt you had me come up to Ray Street Baptist Church because the means of me getting here and the timing on it all, Lord, it's only you, God. I believe that, Lord. But I believe right now, Lord, Ray Street Baptist Church with some of these members are at a crossroads, dear God. And Lord, it's been contemplating in my mind, Lord. I'll say it, Lord. I've been praying, dear God. I won't do nothing, Lord, till you lead and direct me and guide me, dear God. But I pray you'd help the brethren here this morning, Lord. Those that aren't happy, God, I pray you'd help them. And Lord, I know this morning, dear God, I want to say this to you, Lord, before all the congregation as well. There's some sweet people in this church, and they've been nothing but a blessing to me, dear God. And I thank you for them, Lord. But I pray, God, this morning, Lord, my prayer this morning to you, precious Lord God in heaven, is that you would deal with and you would prick and you'd open the eyes of every member in this church, Lord, that they'd examine their heart and see where they're at with you this morning, dear God. Lord, I pray this morning, dear God, that you would stop this nitpicking stuff, Lord. I pray, God, that we get back to the Bible. And Lord, I pray we get back to worship you in truth, dear Lord. God, help this church. Lord, help me as a pastor, dear God, to do the right things, dear precious Lord. God, help us, Lord, to not be so soft, Lord. Dear God, help us to get back to the book, get back to truth, to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we're not ashamed someday when we stand before that judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Lord, help me, dear God. I pray you'd help us, Lord, this morning. God, Lord, I know these things are serious matters, precious Lord. Serious matters. And God, I pray you'd help us as we get ready to go into this next service here this morning. Lord, that you will lead, guide, and direct in everything that's said and done. That you will receive glory, honor, and praise, precious Lord God. Help us, Lord, this morning to examine ourselves, Lord. Help us to examine, not anybody else, Lord. Help us to examine ourselves, dear Lord. To see, Lord, to get a spiritual temperature of our spiritual life. Lord, stir up some men in this church, dear God. I pray this morning, dear God, yet stir up some men in this church who are willing to get on that front line and start going forward as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, dear Lord. I ask you this morning, God, I pray, Lord, yet give me some men in this church that are serious about following you. Lord, that we can go forward in the Lehigh Valley and the surrounding area, dear God, that we can be a light and a testimony as almost a million people here in this Lehigh Valley are getting ready to cross over into hell, dear God. Help this church, dear God, to be a safe haven, Lord, to try to get the word out there before a bunch of people cross over into eternity. God, help us to have a burden. God, put a fire in our heart, dear Lord God, to get back to the way Christianity used to be, dear Lord. God, stir up some men, Lord. Stir up some women in this church to, Lord, to get on the right side and go forward for you, precious Lord. God, I ask you to help us now this morning. Lord, God, help us, Lord Jesus. And I pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. We'll take a little break here and get started in about 15 minutes. In about 5 minutes, if any men want to come pray in my office, I'll be in my office and we'll pray before the services start. Amen.